All right. Hi, everybody. It's Anna and Dylan. We are back with another episode of The Drop after a hiatus because Dylan was busy and blew me off.
Sorry, guys.
Not true, actually. We both just had a lot going on. And then this is also getting out probably a day later than we would have hoped because I had a rental car breakdown on the Florida Turnpike yesterday and had quite an adventure, but we're here. We're here. So hi, everyone. Another episode of The Drop. Dylan, what do you have to say?
Hello, everyone. I've got a question for you. Was that in your new Tesla, the breakdown?
No, it was a rental car.
Oh, the rental car. Okay.
Yeah, so no. Very tragic. James went on Instagram Live for about maybe 3 minutes. It was a really short Instagram Live. He was asking everyone for what we should do. It was pretty brutal, honestly, because like the car wouldn't turn on. And so we had no, like we couldn't really try to turn the car on because it was making weird sounds. And so no AC, it's hot in Florida and it was raining like half the time. So we had all the doors closed and we're both sweating so much. It was tough. We were on the side of the turnpike for like 4 hours.
But you made it back.
We made it back. Yes, it was. Yeah, we made it back. I was real tired last night. But yeah, we're back and we're recording The Drop. What else would we want to be doing? Dylan, would you rather be doing anything other than talking to me right now?
Yeah, there's actually a list of things that I'd rather be doing. No, just
what are
kidding.
Some of them?
This is good. This is at least in the top 15.
Okay, things what are some of the other right things now. You'd rather be doing?
Well, you know, some late in the evenings, I usually like to hit the weights a little bit, go on a run, play some pickleball, watch some basketball.
There's no basketball to be watched tonight, so.
Not now, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say, like, something really lame, like doing a Sudoku or something. that was a missed opportunity by you, I think. Yeah. But okay, let's get into it. A little bit of an Atlanta recap. Dylan, another bronze for you in men's, right?
Yep.
It's tough, right? It's like winning bronze is like you medaled, but in your situation, it's like if you don't medal, that's like a disastrous weekend, which is yet to happen for you. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah, definitely feel like third is the worst we should be doing at this point. Bad, like happy that we're able to consistently be in that spot, but definitely looking for first or second.
What's it gonna take? What is it gonna take, especially to beat the Johnses? You guys have beat Matt and Riley once or twice now, but like Ben and Colin are just so stinking good.
Yeah, they're tough. We're still looking for the right recipe. I think we've tried a few different strategies. Me playing a little more aggressive, me playing a little more passive, dinking more aggressively. I don't know, being more aggressive early in the points. We've tried several different things and they've just been on top of all of them so far. So we're still looking for the right way to go about it.
Is Coach Mircha going to help you find that successful recipe?
He says that's his mission. His mission is to help JW and I beat the Johns brothers. That's what he says. I think he's definitely a big help on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that. Do you think that Ben and Colin can be beaten without a team also adapting their system, right? Because I know that I don't know if they call it the triangle, but it's like where Ben covers so much more court than say like J-Dub or Riley covers in you know, your partnerships. Like, do you think that's the way in men's doubles
for one person to cover more court?
Yeah. Or like how, you know, Ben covers like 70, like probably 70% of the court often. And Colin literally just like dinks and blocks and counters down, you know, do you think like that's the way?
So far it has been. I haven't seen anything else that's been better than that, except for whatever Phil Locklear and Ben Newell did.
You watched that match yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, what did you think of it?
It was pretty crazy. I don't know. Ben and Phil played well. Phil was playing really well. Ben was hitting some pretty good drives. I felt like that level of play and the shots that they're going for is a level that's kind of hard to sustain, and everything was just kind of going right for them. So I'm not sure that's like a long-term solution, being able to play like that every time we play against a team, but it worked for them. We actually
Maybe
talked to Phil a
J-Dub
little
should drop you for Ben Newell.
bit. Maybe, or maybe I should drop J Dub for Phil Locklear.
The Atlanta Bouncers chose to drop Ben Newell for Phil Locklear. So maybe Phil Locklear is the winning recipe, despite his very poor performance in the Cincinnati APP. I have one more question about men's doubles. I don't watch as much men's as you probably do, but I definitely watch more men's doubles than probably every other female. Not exactly by my choice, but I do watch a lot of men's doubles. Do you think the game is going to speed up or slow down? Because I've been hearing some people saying like pickleball is going to get faster, it's going to get faster, it's going to get faster. I can't shoot. The
Whoops.
stand is bad. Do you think the game's going to get faster? Do you think it's going to get slower? Men's, we'll talk about men's first. What do you think?
I think it's going to get faster eventually, just people being able to attack from more positions, more consistently. But so far, the team that's doing it best right now, Ben and Colin, are still playing the slow game pretty effectively. So how soon that happens, or that change happens, or if it even happens, I don't know. But my prediction is that eventually it will speed up a little.
Do you feel you're playing more aggressively?
No, I think actually one of the things that helped J-Dub and I earlier in the year was when I stopped attacking as much as I was, when I started to play a little less aggressive against the vast majority of teams. That was working a little better for us, but I think maybe I need to turn it up a little bit against other teams. So I think it just depends on who we're playing.
The people want to see more pump fake dinks.
Yeah.
People were talking about that shot this weekend. I don't know where I was, but like maybe it was Brendan Long was talking about how it's like the best shot in pickleball is your like fake dink. And he was talking about how he doesn't know how you do it. And it's like, so the people like that shot. One more note I have for all of our listeners, and surprisingly, well, I shouldn't say surprisingly, but I'm always surprised that people listen to us talk. Do people come up to you at tournaments, Dylan? And
Just to say like hey, or start a conversation or what?
yeah, or just and mention like this pod. Like it happens to me like
Oh
pretty frequently.
yeah, a few people said that they liked the podcast at the last tournament, or that
Yeah,
they
it's
listened
like,
to it anyway.
Chanel posts for me on Facebook, the same thing's on my Instagram, and the first comment reply is some guy saying, "Great, now go report a podcast." I'm like, whew, all right. Yes, sir. I gotta get on it, I guess. But my last nugget, I don't know if you've watched this match, Dylan, but MLP Columbus, it was, I don't even know, it was a match on Grandstand Court and it was men's doubles, Rob Nunnery and Ben Newell. I can't even remember who they're playing, but everyone just needs to go and find that men's doubles match. Rob Cassidy commentates and it's literally comedic gold, but you can't skip through. You have to watch the whole match. If anyone does, let us know in the comments your thoughts. Rob was so insanely funny, and it's just the match was amazing. It gives you the full Ben Newell experience, essentially. Just a little nugget there. Do you have any more thoughts about men's doubles, Dylan? Oh my God, we can't not shout out Gabe Tardio. Gabe Tardio played like a stud,
Yeah.
right side beast. Connor Garnett as well, of course. It wasn't, it's not like it's just Gabe out there, but. I was watching Gabe play and I from the and he's playing the right and I was like he's playing like Annalee Waters. He was birding all the time. He was like he was right side alpha. He was in the middle with his backhand. It was really cool to see.
Yeah, he was speeding up a lot, playing super aggressive. I thought Connor was playing really well too, but Gabe especially, they're tough. They took out some good teams. The number three seed, AJ and Tyler, and then they beat Andre and Jay, who ended up getting fifth. And then J Dub and I played them in the third place match, and they're up on us for most of the first game. I think we finally caught up at 8-8. First game is when we finally evened it up and took the lead. But they had a strong start, and they were playing really aggressive, and they were playing good. J Dub and I had to get past the Gabe factor, like just the fact that we were playing them in the bronze medal match, and being able to stay focused
Yeah.
in some of the points was part of it. But they were playing well too, so it wasn't a good combination.
Yeah, I just need to shout out Gabe because he's definitely, you know, we mentioned him as right now or after Daytona, he wasn't looking great. But I think he's making a legit case to stay premier. Also, Connor Garnett is kind of someone people are talking about as being on that border. So, Gabe, you know, the Julie Johnson Academy, he told me he's practicing more seriously. You can tell. So, I'm super, super happy for him. And he's so slippery, especially on the right. His forehand is really tough to read. I get lobbed by Gabe so much every time I play with him, and I never, ever see it coming. All right. I guess we should talk about women's now. I guess that's a natural progression. It wouldn't be right if we only spoke about your events. Do you have any questions for me, Dylan, about women's doubles? Do you even know that I won?
All I know is that you dropped a game.
We did drop a game. Badly.
No, I know that you won. You guys played well. You guys won in three games in the final, right?
Yes, in three, yeah. Over Georgia and Vivian.
Yeah, strong team, Georgia and Vivian. Were you playing the left or right mostly? Or both?
I actually played the right more this weekend. It was more just kind of matchup dependent against Lauren and Megan, who that's who we lost a game to. We just barely won 12-10 in the first, and then we proceeded to lose game 2 11-1. Then I think we won 11-4. But I am known to get real lucky with the net cords against Lauren Stratman. She knows it. I know it. It was like 10-10-2 they were serving, and I got a net cord winner. And then we were up 11-10-2, and I got a net cord winner to end the game. And I was at the paddle tap. She's just like shaking her head. And I'm just like, sure. I don't know what. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. I'm going to take it every time. But they played great. They were just hitting huge serves and big drives. So that game was very straight up, I would say, or that match. But against Paris and Catherine, I was mostly on the right. And then as well, I was also mostly on the right against Georgia and Viv. And that was mostly matchup dependent. Like, we wanted me in front of Georgia a little more, just a little more familiarity there. And then with Paris, we were just dinking middle, dinking her left foot really relentlessly. And she was doing a lot of early pulls, and we liked those going more to Anna Lee. So, yeah, that's a little takeaway. It's always weird, like, talking about on, like, having this pod, because it's like, do I really want to talk about, like, the strategy too much and what I was thinking and what I was doing?
Right.
You know? Yeah. Or it's like, can I really roast people as hard as I – not roast, but, you know, you can't say everything you think, or it's like people want to hear about all, like, this, like, gossip that's kind of petty, and it's tough. It's a tough spot to be in.
How did Vivian do? I didn't see. Not David, but
Glosman.
Glosman, yeah.
I think she went 1-2 in both events. She played with Dominique Schaefer. I didn't get to watch any of that, but she also went 1-2 in mixed, and I did watch a little bit of that. She told me she has been working. She, like, in the since North Carolina, she's really been working on playing the right. And she said she thought she got so much better, but in mixed, she's like, I still felt so uncomfortable. I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's hard. Like, our first tournament together, I was speeding up, like, everything just because I had no dink tolerance on the right. But it's tough, yeah. So I feel like women's is just getting progressively deeper and deeper on the whole. I was playing with a new paddle this weekend. I used the Perseus. Federico Staxrud is right. What does he say about it? It's the new era, maybe? Is that what that says?
I haven't heard him say that.
Really? Oh, there was something that you told me that he kept saying.
He was hyping it up for a long time. Like, before he had the paddle, he was like, this is going to change my game. Like, I'm finally going to have hands when I get this paddle. He was just, like, talking it up a lot before he got it.
I mean, he beat me with it. So maybe
he did.
Maybe that means that it's like, you know, the sword in that myth. It's like only the king can pull out the sword. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
King. The Knights of the Round Table and everything. Like, maybe that's fed with the Perseus. It's just meant for him, and he's the king.
Yeah. I felt like that was almost like you had it coming to you a little bit after we were on the last spot, and you said that you feel super comfortable in front of Federico.
No, oh my God, that's Federico true.
Doubles.
That's so true. No, like, that was such a whack match. Like, I know you were there at the beginning, and you were trying to stir the pot a little bit. Johnny Goldberg is so funny. So James is speaking Spanish. We're in the first game, 11-0. Everything's going our way. And Johnny's like, Federico, speak English to him. And that was really funny. But were you there when our ref asked the people playing a singles match beside us to stop playing?
No.
Oh my gosh. Balls were coming in our court like every other point. And Fed, you know, got a little chirpy with the ref. And yeah. Then our ref just broke down. He broke down. He's a great guy. You know, he was doing great, but then Fed, like, he took too long after yeah. Fed and Mary won a big point. And Fed was like, come on, man. Momentum. You're killing our momentum. Like yeah. He got so mad at the ref. And then the rest of the match, it was like nonstop. The ref was like just so rattled getting the score wrong. Like he went over and asked the men playing singles to stop playing. And they were like, this is a real match. Like, this is a real match. And then yeah. It was like, oh my God, he just told them to be better. He just asked them to be better. So it was a real choppy momentum wise and on the whole. And that probably rattled us a little. I also think Mary they made some adjustment. I'm not entirely sure what it was, but I heard him talking about it, like Coach Maggie, and Mary was handling James really well. And sometimes yeah. I think he struggles to, when C ball, speed up ball isn't working and mixed, kind of back away from that.
Yeah.
And then I got rattled and was making like errors, and Federico was earning me, and I was like, oh my gosh, so it was just
I was definitely surprised by the outcome, because I left after you guys won 11-0, and then it was like 2-2 in the second game, and Federico was getting upset with the ref, and I'm like, well, this isn't looking
Oh, you good. Saw when he first got upset with the ref?
Yeah, he's like, got upset with him. I thought the funniest part was when he's like, no, man, you're doing good, but just hurry up a little, like, help us, because you're taking away our momentum. And then like the one time James comments, because I feel like the whole time James is just like in the zone. Like you can't even say anything to the guy because he just doesn't even hear you. Like when you guys were on timeout, I was literally like 5 feet away from James and I said something directly to him and he just wasn't fazed at all. Like he didn't even hear me. But anyway, so Federico says like, no, you're doing good, man, but just pick up the pace a little bit. And then James like snaps out of his whatever world he's living in. And then he's like, it's okay, sir. Take your time. And then like goes back.
Oh my God. Maybe that was it. Maybe that was it though, because he definitely got out of the flow state a little bit. But we proceeded to be back draw warriors. I mean, you got fourth. I think we ended up coming with fifth, but our point differential in the back draw, I had to calculate it because we were just on a mission. After we got through our back draw letdown against Jill and Andre, like even including that match, we won 76% of our points in the back draw. If you don't include that, it's got to be like 95. Like it was insane.
95%.
I don't know. Like let me think about it.
You played Jill and Andre first?
Yeah, we won 15-12, I think. But if I don't include the Jill and Andre match. Wait. 8. No, 52. Okay, I exaggerated. But if we don't include the Jill and Andre match, we won 87% of our points.
Wow.
In the remaining four matches.
That's pretty dominant.
And Zane went for but to be fair, Zane and Jade were not all there. Zane went for a full nasty Nelson on James down 7-14.
Really?
Full Nelson.
Okay.
It was funny, but it was like, wow. And then Jade had the serve at 7-14 too. And I was like, I'm ready, Jade. Don't do it. If I got nasty Nelsoned by Jade, though, that would be pretty sad. I would like to think I could react fast enough. But Zane, I would have gotten hit, I think.
Yeah.
Talk about your day a little bit.
Unsuccessful. When he went for James on the nasty Nelson.
Yeah, he was. He hit it hard, but it was just James wasn't ready. It was just like 2 feet too wide.
I was really tempted to. I've never been like tempted to try a nasty Nelson in a tournament format or a tournament game before, but. When we were playing Gabe Tardio and Connor Garnett, the thought was going through my mind. I'm not going to lie. I'm like,
it's just like, man, multiple I really times want to try. You couldn't shake the thought.
Yeah. Like I really want to try this, but at the same time, I probably really shouldn't. Cause that's just a little disrespectful. I mean, Zane's situation was different because they were losing 7-14, but you know, I was only going to do it if we were like had a comfortable lead. But yeah.
Yeah. It's weird. It's kind of like you got to do it like first point. If it's like someone you're actually friends with, it's a weird thing. I don't think I'll ever do it, but that's really funny that that the thought was kind of itching at you.
You know, Nasty, I have seen the Nasty Nelson in a tournament format before. It was actually Timothy Nelson was playing, who the Nasty Nelson is named after, and he actually got Nasty Nelson by Zayn Affleck.
By Zayn Affleck?
Yeah. He doesn't play
He's an
anymore. But
OG.
yeah.
How did he react to the Nelson that he invented?
I think he was just upset about it. I can't remember. I can't remember for sure, but he was not happy about it.
That's funny.
Funny though.
I don't know I don't know how we would have felt about it had it worked. But it's really funny that it didn't, honestly. And Zayn had just lost a heartbreaker to you guys. They were goofing off pretty hard.
Yeah.
Tell me, Dylan. So you said you were looking for your mixed partner for 2024. Could that be Callie? You guys have done pretty solid together.
It could be, we've played two tournaments now. Third and this tournament we got fourth. I feel like we should have won the bronze. I felt like we were in a position to win both games. In the bronze medal match we played Tyson and Catherine. Lost 11-8, 12-10, I think, after being up like 8-5 first game and 10-7 second game. So definitely had chances. Probably should have won at least one of those games, probably both of them. But yeah, Callie's I felt like we were playing pretty well together. We had I won't say a couple of lucky break. I was gonna say we had a couple of lucky breaks in the draw with Vivian and Thomas going down, but everybody's tough. Like DJ and Sarah beat Thomas and Vivian, but DJ was playing really well. Sarah was playing well, so they weren't easy. And then Zane and Jade beating Matt and Lucy was an upset on paper probably, but again they were playing really well, so no one's easy. But yeah, we had a good run to the semifinal, got crushed by Ben and AL, and then lost in the bronze to Tyson and Catherine. Pretty close, but playing with Callie's fun. She's got good energy. She's pretty nice too. Like doesn't care if you miss shots or
She's pretty
do
nice.
something stupid. Yeah,
Pretty nice.
very nice.
That's a strange thing to say that someone is pretty nice. That's not really a glowing endorsement.
Very nice.
You almost hit me in the face when we were warming up.
When
Do you
we were
remember
warming up
that?
for me? Oh yeah, I
Yeah,
do.
we were playing a warm-up game and Dylan literally almost took me out.
Yeah.
It was not very nice. It was not even pretty nice. It was just
And
not nice.
then I acted like it was on accident.
Oh my God. If that was on purpose, that would have been mean. We have to talk about Paris Dodd a little bit. She had a good weekend. Silver in mixed and bronze in women's. How good is Paris? Where does she go in an MLP draft if she plays? I have no information on whether she plays or not, but
Yeah, I think she was playing pretty well. Second with Riley. And then who'd she play with in women's?
Catherine.
Catherine. And who'd they play in the bronze medal match?
The Brashas, and we also have to shout out Mary for sure, but yes.
Okay. And you guys, did you guys, you and Anna Lee played Paris and Catherine, or Georgia and Vivian did?
We played Paris and Catherine and we won like 6-5, something like that.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I was
not
curious.
like a blowout, but like fairly comfortable, you would
Yeah.
say.
I was curious to see how she was going to do for sure after playing. I think what was Daytona, her only other PPA tournament that she's played this year,
Yes.
or she's played more. Yeah, so it's been a minute since she's played, and she's been playing APP, and people are talking about or at least speculating like how the APP players are going to compete against the PPA players, given that maybe their field isn't quite as deep. But Paris came out and played really well, so I think she's making a case to be could be a first round pick for the next MLP.
Could, yeah, she
I
could
think
be.
would be. I think will be.
You think she will be?
I think so.
I would probably say early second round, but
Early second round.
anyone can rise or fall. It's who the heck knows even. Also, need to shout out Mary Brasha. Unreal tournament, silver in singles. I was so happy for her. Sixth in mixed, but beat James and I, and then made the quarters and then we beat them in the back draw, but which is not nothing. It's a bad result for James and I, but they won the main draw match, which is what matters more. And then also fourth place in doubles with 6 match points in the third, I believe, to make the final. They lost 14-12 in the third to Viv and Mary. So just a heartbreaker, but literally so close. One point I was watching, they had overheads. I was like, oh, that hurts. But really happy for them, really happy for her. I think that's a huge result for Mary because Mary is someone who hasn't really played too great the last couple MLP events. I also think her, you know, she's playing with Lindsay and they weren't picked to be a great doubles team. But then in mix, also AJ hasn't been playing well, so you have to take the results with a grain of salt. But still, she hadn't been doing that great. And then just to ball out, really stoked for her. I think the draft is only getting more and more interesting with every event because a lot of people that you think might be fringe are balling out. Like a lot of the challenger, like top, are balling out. So it's like, shoot, what do you even do?
When is the draft for the next season of MLP?
I think it's in July at some point.
In July. So how many tournaments between now and then? Including
I think there's MLP. only two PPAs in that last MLP. Okay. I don't know about the APPs. I don't know. But
yeah, be interesting.
Definitely interesting.
Another interesting thing from this weekend was Connor Pardo mentioned or brought up the topic of I think it was Federico and I were sitting together watching a match, and Alex Newman, I think, was there too, maybe one other person, but he brought up, he was kind of asking our thoughts on if we like the back draw or if we could go without it, and just kind of bringing it up. So, cause I know some other people this year have been saying, maybe we don't need a back draw. Like, it's not a lot of points, not a lot of incentive for the back draw. And if you don't get to that fifth, sixth place match, then it's tough. Like if you grind your way through the back draw and then you make it all the way to the round before fifth, sixth, then you get nothing for it, or no money anyway. Or do you get points for back draw wins or not until?
I don't even know. I just play for the love of the game.
Nice. I'm not 100% sure if you even get points for a back draw win leading up to the fifth, sixth place match, but just thought it was interesting that Connor was bringing that up, and so it may be a possibility in the future of eliminating the back draw.
Someone mentioned that to me as well, that it was something that they were inquiring about. What are your thoughts on it? One thing though, I heard that if they did that, they might change main draw to being best of five.
Yeah, I would be in favor of it.
Which is like necessary to know that.
I would be in favor of it at that point. If main draw goes to best of five, no back draw and it just being best two out of three, it's like,
You can't do that.
This is, yeah. But I'd be in favor of having no back draw. I think one of the reasons Connor says that it exists, or one of the reasons that he liked it, was so that some of the teams that are kind of coming on into the scene can like have some matches in the back draw to get experience and exposure to some other players. Like if you're kind of new on the scene, you got to play Ben and Colin or in the first round, or like you and Annalie in the first round, and then your day is over. Like that's tough and you don't get a lot out of that, but with the back draw, at least you have some chances for more matches. But he says with the points draw now and the whole qualifier rounds, that kind of eliminates the need for like more experience, because that's where you get it in those brackets now.
Yeah, I think we are definitely a little biased, and I feel like in a sense, like you even more so, because you've never not even like made the semifinals in men's. So that's like different, but I don't know. I think maybe we try that at a few events this year and see. I don't think we're in a place where we're ready to just commit to eliminating it, because I like playing the back draw personally. I just think, you've been playing pickleball a lot longer than me. I mean, when did you start?
2016.
It's funny because I feel like everybody lies about how long they've been playing pickleball, because I've heard that you've been playing for a lot longer than that. Altoff was just telling me that he played against you when you were like, I don't know, very young, and he beat you and you cried.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then both James and I were like, that is earlier than he said he started playing. So sorry, I was just trying to trap you there. But I still feel like I get a lot out of tournament reps, especially in mixed. So I like playing the back draw, which is one reason that we do. And I don't know, and obviously, like, I'm like very good. So I feel like for other people, like, that's still really valuable to get those reps. I mean, heck, Altov got like seventh place, seventh, eighth place. You know, that doesn't happen for him with no backdraw. Altov is a freaking storyline for this week. Like, how could we not talk about Altov? The guy gets seventh place with Austin Gridley. First round, him and Austin Gridley beat Brendan Long and John Sincola. Sorry, I'm hijacking this conversation, but and there was so much trash being talked about that match, like, because Brendan was staying with us, like James was antagonizing Brendan, like Matt Wright was antagonizing Altov, like trying to get Altov to bet on himself, like, and Altov, like, I don't think he was doing it. And then they freaking win against Altov and Gridley, undrafted a challenger. They beat them, and then they go on and beat a lot of good teams. But some of those teams are probably definitely having backdraw letdowns. So I don't know. I'd be interested in trying it out. I think it'd be cool to have it, some of the bigger, more prestigious events right now, some of our like grand slams. Maybe we try it there. But I like the backdraw. I don't really see the big deal of people withdrawing either. I know people complain about it a lot in the Facebook groups, but to me, it's like if a team doesn't want to play, they don't want to play. It's fine. Just let the people who want to play play.
All top
Maybe do away
Austin
with it
Griff.
in singles. It's such a grind in singles, but.
Singles is rough, yeah. If you go down early in singles, it's such a grind to fight your way all the way back to the fifth, sixth match.
Yeah, maybe in singles, just go ahead and do away with it. I kind of feel like I think it might be cool if they just did away with singles even being on Championship Sunday, and I think leave Sunday for doubles matches and maybe include the bronzes and just and you know pay a little more for bronze so it's more valued and like build up, and then and just finish singles on Thursdays. You know, something I think might be kind of cool. Just knock it out.
In terms of viewership, how does singles compare to the doubles on Sundays usually? Do you
I
know?
don't know how it does on Sunday. I know that a lot less people do watch on Thursday than on Friday and Saturday, but you could also people are working, like, don't know. But yes, and then
Going back to Altoff, he also got the gold medal and senior pro.
he did. He did, and that was a really fun match to watch. A lot of us were watching it, like Matt and Lucy and James and I were, and then a bunch of other people came. And Matt and James like were betting on it, and it's just amazing. It was
Altoff
so
actually
funny.
showed
Altov
me.
versus Dave, like Dave was losing every hand battle. Like Altov's paddle is so hot, and it was. I felt bad for John Sperling because Altov or Dave just continued to speed it up at Altov. It was like a pride thing, and Altov was doing the thing where he rolls his R's, you know, like roasted. You know, they do that. It was just so funny, and it wasn't even close. The third game was 11-1, but the king stays king.
King says king. Yeah, Altaf showed me your Twitter feed. That was funny.
Oh, he did. He showed you. That's so cute. Who do you think wins? So mixed at nationals over under. I am playing with Altov. James is playing with Beth Bellamy. Who wins?
I think that'd be a fun match to watch. I don't know. I think it'll be close.
Dylan's like salivating, like ready to watch that
I'm
match.
so
Like,
You just got me really excited. Like, I can't wait for nationals now. I think I feel like generally speaking, the whichever team has the younger female pro on the team does better. So maybe I'll have to say you and Altoff for that reason. But it'll be a fun match to watch for sure.
I hope it'll be interesting. Yeah. Just need to make sure Altov still has that paddle. That's huge for us.
Altoff will be right in front of James, so yeah. It would be more fun if you were in front of James so that I could watch you guys
I
hands
know.
battle,
Sorry about
but
that.
Altoff's also what is also entertaining to watch hands battle.
Yeah.
Maybe James will treat you like Federico and speed up cross court.
Maybe he'll try it. I feel like the last thing we should address that people are definitely going to be nagging me if I don't address it is the exchange that happened at the end of our first game in the women's doubles final. So in the last point of the first game, Annalie did one of her mid-court speed-ups where she goes full bag cross-court, and it's literally going to hit the fence on the fly. It might go into the stands if you can get out of the way, but Vivian could not get out of the way. And at the paddle tap, Vivian said, you know, asked if it was a legal paddle that had been tested, and Annalie just said, yes, all my paddles are tested, which she 100% gets all her paddles tested. She actually gets like all her paddles tested before every match. I just give one, and it's like, if I don't like that paddle, then I'm just, you know, I'm just a little SOL. But yeah, that was the exchange. Like, don't really have anything more to say.
Ask a question like that is like the most aggressive thing I've ever seen her do.
I know. Like, I was very surprised, and it was kind of, I felt uncomfortable because at the paddle tap, like, I just made a small, like, pinched smile face, like, you know, kind of sorry that AL just went complete full bag. Like, it was the right shot, you know, but when she does that, like, it is coming so fast. I was like, whoa. And AL was obviously surprised and, you know, said something like nothing aggressive. Like, that was it. That was the end of the exchange. But it was just, it was interesting. And then Annalie proceeded to not sit down in that end change. And I was like a little worried. I was like, oh no. I was like, I really hope that she doesn't just go, you know, complete full bag. Like, I was like, we got to stay settled. We got to keep grinding, you know, but she's a competitor, really. I think like both her and Georgia are just amazing competitors, like for 16 years old. Like, it's really impressive on the whole. So yeah, very, very mature. And yeah, but it was interesting. You know, I'm playing with Viv and there's no bad blood. Like, it's just, you know, it's kind of like, I don't think it should be taboo to question other people's paddles and to challenge them, but there was no challenge, and the paddle would have passed. I mean, they all passed, and all my paddles passed. And I think everyone's paddles passed this week, except I think maybe Salome's did fail, which was kind of interesting. Sure. Actually, I don't know if it did or not, but it was like a weird, she switched to a different paddle mid-match on grandstand against Mary. And then the ref, like, it was in the quarter, so the ref made her go get it tested or took it to be tested. So there was a long delay, and then came back and she switched back to the old paddle. So I don't know what happened there. I don't know if it failed or they just said you can't switch and use a paddle that wasn't tested beforehand.
Yeah.
But interesting situation. Salome cannot escape questions related to her paddles. But
the shot that Annalie went for on Vivian, that was the same shot I was going for in our practice match for mixed doubles.
Yeah, it literally, it almost killed me, and I was wishing, I was like, dang, I guess I got to wear sunglasses against Dylan now. I got to get my knockarounds out. Shout out knockarounds, just signed with them. Love their shades. They're super cute.
I was just trying to send a message. It was like a warning shot, like, don't test me.
Well, you said this was like, don't test me.
Yeah.
Also, if anybody who listens to this podcast knows Luke Kuzmider. Also, we got to shout out Jake for drinking a beer after beating Christian and then immediately yakking it up, all recorded on video. That was comedy gold. But Luke, like, qualified for the main draw in singles, won 5-0. And in his Instagram caption, he does hashtag Dylan Frazier. Do you know why he did that? Do you even know Luke, Dylan?
Yeah, we've talked a couple times at these last couple of tournaments.
How did you know it wasn't Jake?
Because I can tell them apart.
How can you tell them apart? What's it? How?
Because Jake is a little thicker. Or not Jake, Luke is a little thicker.
No, Jake is thicker.
No.
I'm just trying to confuse you. Yeah, Luke. But yeah, if anyone knows why he did that, or if anybody here wants to make that a trend, I mean, oh my gosh, Dylan, you've got to get that guy, like, the same exact shirt that your mom got me, Team Dylan Frazier. Like, that guy, he only wears tank tops.
Yeah.
He clearly needs one. Yeah. Oh my God, you've got to get all of the, like, younger guys in pickleball wearing them. It'd be so funny. They would do it.
That would be fun.
That's like an untapped market. You guys have got to get on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, shout out Jake. Christian Alshon asked Jake to concede the match before the match. In all seriousness, not joking from what I have heard and from interpretations of people on the scene, which Jake refused to concede the match and proceeded to beat him and then both chug and throw up an IPA. Amazing. Just amazing. Pickleball on the whole. Like, just the things that happen every week are so funny. Never change pickleball.
What was Christian's rationale behind him asking Jake to concede the match?
Probably something for a YouTube vlog. Like, I think it was related to like sponsors and, you know, money for meddling.
Yeah.
And,
and Jake, we're just going to split it 50-50 or what? Jake was going to get a cut. What was Jake's?
I don't know. You know, everyone's going to have to reach out to Jake, but, from what I have heard, it was very funny. We'll see if I ask to get this removed. Because it's tough. It's like, how much of my personal conversations can I share on the podcast? I don't know. I don't want people to not talk to me. But that's a funny thing that I think all the pros have heard about at this point. Anything else, Dylan, that we should report on as professional podcasters and content creators?
No, I think we covered most of it or all of it.
Awesome. I'm trying to think if there are any other good performances this weekend that I'm not shouting out. I felt bad like 2 weeks ago. There was someone who had a really good tournament. I didn't even mention them. Because I know I only listen to other podcasts when I think I may get mentioned. So kind of stinks if you had a good weekend and then you don't even get mentioned. Mary Connor. Maggie Brosh as well. You know, big run to fourth place with Mary. I think she's really underrated. She carries you at MLP. I think that's all I got.
All right.
Thanks, Dill, for talking to me for 43 minutes and counting.
No problem.
Do you have any other questions for me? Anything you want?
Who are you playing with? Are you playing with Annalie again at Texas?
I'm actually playing with Lacey.
Oh, Lacey.
Yeah.
Getting ready for MLP. That's dedication.
Rafa right was trying to get me to play San Clemente with him. And
you just don't want it badly enough, do you?
I guess I don't. You know what? I guess I just don't. That's all I really have to say. You know, but then I asked him, I was like, who are you playing with? He said Lacey. I was like, Roth, come on now. Come on now. You can't do that. I just thought that was really funny. I was like, who are you playing? He was like, Lacey. I was like, oh my God, Rafa, like, come on.
Yeah. He was funny. In the middle of one of his singles games, this past tournament in Atlanta, it started raining. So like they had to stop play in the middle of it. And he's like, I'm so ready for MLP or something like that. We still have like all of the whole tournament left to go. Plus like San Clemente PPA.
We have a month. We have like almost a month.
Yeah. But Rafa's ready. So
I know that man is ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Yeah. If Rafa asked to play with me and I was on Rafa's MLP team, I would definitely say yes.
But he already got his one shot with you.
Maybe I give him two shots. I don't know. If Rafa's on your MLP team, like, you're in it to win it. Got to make sacrifices. Got to want it.
Got to make. But do I even want to play with Rafa if it's not at MLP?
To get ready for MLP, yeah.
Yeah, but like, what are we getting ready for? Truly, like MLP. What am I going to learn playing with him that I haven't seen from like playing against him, like being, you know, his ride or die at MLP? Like, what is that extra?
I mean, being on the court together is good experience. You can watch people play a lot, but until like you're on the court with them,
it's probably. I mean, him and Lynn will almost be Riley and Paris, so. Maybe I gotta give him a call right now. We talk about Rafa so much. You always like add Rafa. You always interject Rafa.
I have to. He's my favorite player by far.
No, he's great.
Most entertaining player on the tour.
Do you think so? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I have one last question, Dylan. Do you think there are possible teams right now that could beat Ben and Colin, but the players just aren't playing together? Because I saw Tyler Lung tweeted something like that. Do you think? Like, maybe not the first time, but like they could eventually get to where they're, you know, beating, like they're like beating them like 50% of the time or more.
Oh, really? That's what Tyler thinks?
Yeah. Do you agree?
Did he throw out any names?
No, but I think, most of the names in the conversation are implied.
I don't know. I'd be curious to see who he thought.
It's an old tweet, but it's just something that I was thinking about today because James and I have been talking a lot about, the recipe to beat Ben and Colin or how it could be done.
Yeah. I'm not gonna say no, like anything can happen, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know
Maybe
what
Big H,
combination to
maybe
play.
Hayden just needs to grow. Maybe we just need someone like to get a lot better, someone new.
Yeah.
All right. It's probably Rafa, actually. All right. I hate this new camera. I feel like I look like such an egg and my hair is frizzy. Sorry, everyone. I hope no one watched this on YouTube and had to look at me. It's like when you get, I was telling before we started recording, it's like when you get a new iPhone and you just think you look so bad. That's how I feel right now with this new camera. But the kitchen has been nagging me to use it because they bought it for me, so I finally did.
You
Dylan, you're
look
supposed to
fine.
tell me that I don't look
You
horrible.
look fine.
Fine, that's a good thing to say without putting yourself in a bad situation. All right. Till next
Right.
week, Dylan.
Till next week.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed.
See you guys.